Hey, welcome to the Toncast. I'm Lombardo Boyar, and you're not going to believe it, I have a very special guest, Todd Robert Anderson.
Hey, everybody, are we supposed to hug the mic like that?
Yeah, hug it, dude.
Really close?
Yeah, I know. I can smell your breath.
It's like in the...
And I like it. It smells like cerveza.
A morning cerveza.
Hey, so what's up, my very special guest? How you doing, Todd?
I'm doing all right.
All right.
I'm feeling good. I did my political activism for the day already.
What? What did you do?
Well, now that I live out here in Simi Valley...
Yeah, seriously. I drove out here. It was awesome. Put on the classic rock.
Put on the Skinner.
That's right. It was on, man.
And
put
you,
on the radio.
Did you fly a Don't Tread on Me or a Confederate flag or something out of the
No,
back
no.
Of your
I'm
car?
Mexican. And while I was driving up here, well, I realized I wore my real Mexican hat.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I was like, what was I thinking in my lower Nissan Cube? it was great. Mm. But I felt really safe.
Well, that's good.
But I pulled up and I saw that your neighbor has a really cool Chevy truck, so I felt right at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's his son's truck.
That's awesome.
They're working on it all the time.
I like the Chevy. Anyways. Yeah. How you liking it out here in Simi?
I like it a lot.
Yeah.
It's.
I'm going to go with you moved out here because it was quiet enough for your podcast.
Yeah, I was thinking about either installing a sound booth in my house.
This was weird.
Or just move out here.
Just move out here. It's literally, guys, we have doors open, windows open, everything. Hold on, watch. All you hear is this fucking computer.
Back in North Hills, because it was loud as hell.
Yeah.
You know, I'd sleep with white noise on.
Mm-hmm.
To drown out the sounds.
Yeah.
And now out here, I don't.
Yeah.
But that means that, like, all the sounds that a house makes at night...
You like, hear. It, are amplified.
Yeah. And I have an old tube TV in my room, and it cracks in the middle. It makes that weird tube TV cracking noise.
To be honest, you freak out. Right?
And the house settles. It'll just be like
a big... What's that?
But it's nice to fall asleep.
Yeah, we're both homeowners now, and it's the thing is, thank God. You know?
Yeah.
It's pretty cool for, you know... Kind of, you know, journeyman, kind of whatever actors.
Yeah. One of our neighbors was over here, and I told her what I do, and they live, you know, on the cul-de-sac across the way, and they rent the house.
Yeah.
And she was like, "You're an actor?
Yeah.
You do pretty well."
Yeah.
And I guess I do.
Yeah, we forget to kind of realize that a little bit. I mean, you know, to pat our backs a little bit. Because if we don't do it, no one fucking will.
But the 10 years in our first home in North Hills, you know, where we're building up that equity that you hear so much about when you're a kid, and you're like, I don't fucking care about equity, you know?
I think we're the same.
But I used the at one point, because we moved into that.
We realize this is adult talk, but fucking deal with it.
Yeah, deal. We moved in there right at the end of 2007.
Right.
And then 2008, there was that writer's strike.
Right. Oh, I remember
at the beginning of the year.
Killed
that pilot season. Killed that writer's strike. Killed my pilot theatrical career. I still don't get pilot auditions like I used to. Because everything changed. Because now they offer it to the famous people.
Yeah.
And they go, well, fuck off.
And then
off,
we maybe get a shot
you
know, at something when there's an offer out and they haven't said yes yet.
Yeah. We're leveraged. And they bring
scraps.
Us.
We're scraps actors. That's what I like to call it.
But I look at it this way. We're not shit actors.
No.
Because if they really wanted to stack, you know, if they really wanted ringers that would prove that they're... main choice is the right thing and they should pay whatever they should pay.
Yeah.
Then the networks be like, you're bringing in all this shit.
Yeah.
They bring in people who can actually act.
Yeah.
And they're like, you're right.
We're
guys
the go-to
great.
Guys. Exactly. And what I always think of is, look, how many we've actually gone in there and actually gotten jobs. How many times?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, these people just get them offered.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We're going in the room and getting it.
Imagine
how many times.
Yeah, but imagine how great it would be to just get phone calls.
Yeah.
And go, yeah, okay, or nah. I mean, the thing is,
I've gotten some offers. That, like, the funny thing is, you know, some have been great, but, you know, it's not always great. You know, the first one I got was like, it was this African-American show, comedy. And I walked in and I thought I was all happy. And it was at Sunset Gower Studios when it wasn't as nice as it is now.
Oh, yeah.
But it was really scary. And I walked into this soundstage. It was all happy. They gave me this like little recurring co-star role, which didn't end up recurring, of course.
Right.
But
that old carrot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's how they get you in there,
possible
man.
Possible recurring. Yeah. Oh, yay. Yeah, like that's what they do in commercials now. They say, national network, this, and you're like, okay, a national network, I'll do that, because that's where the residuals are, but then they fucking change it.
Oh,
after you book the job.
No way. Oh, so.
And they're like, oh, you're okay, it's not gonna be national, you're okay. You know, and now it's just like, I just do everything.
Now, these are all first world problems, we realize, okay? Right? We don't fucking make this a bitch session.
They are, but but that's fucked up.
Yeah, I mean, but we know every job has its problems and stuff. But I think as you get older as an actor, what we're saying, and you probably realize this too, I've noticed the respect is getting worse. You know what I mean? It's diminishing.
Sure.
That's what I have a problem with. You know, I don't mind working for the jobs or like that, but I remember a time where, dude, they would treat you, when you did a guest star, you were invited to the rap party.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
They don't do that anymore.
Dude, no. I mean, you know, dude, you could be recurring and you don't get invited to the rap party. If there's a rap party now.
Yeah, if there is.
And then, like, I remember, dude, I did a guest spot and I would get a letter in the mail telling me when my episode was going to air. How classy is that?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that never happened to me.
Never? Yeah, dude. No. There was a time where they did that. How classy is that?
That is classy.
Yeah, because, you know, you might want to see yourself on the episode that you did.
It depends on the show.
It depends on the show, but still, you might need it for your reel, you know, whatever. No,
yeah,
it's
really
classy.
Yeah,
none of that happens. Or, you know, now we go to 20th Century Fox and you have to walk a mile and a half in the sun if you want to audition for something.
That's so true. You have to park in a garage in Culver City.
Yeah. And walk around to Motor. It's true. This is a true story, man.
It's true. It's horrible.
And, you know, when you're older, I'm 45, and you're just like, you just feel like, man, this is, would they do this in any other job? Like, you know, I don't know.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's why. But anyways, I love it. We both have houses and we're really happy.
It is funny though, because having a house and a place to go that feels like mine, even though it's really owned by a bank.
Yeah.
Does help my psyche.
Oh, me too. No, and it was scary as hell, right? Like, I was so scared to do it, man, for me.
Because it was the most terrifying thing.
Oh, yeah.
And we kind of did it under duress, too, because we were in an apartment, and it was a shit show.
Yeah.
And we broke the lease, and then we were just desperate for a place to live. And it was, you know, right before the bubble was about to burst, and it was clear, and we were like, but if we don't get in now, we're not going to get a loan right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So we did, but it was crazy, it was terrifying.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah.
And then writer's strike. The economy collapsed.
We were talking before we came on, I haven't worked in almost a year, you know, and like, you know, I did Coco, two characters in Coco, and they just got, like, you know, they just made the 27th of February Coco Day in LA, which was awesome.
That is awesome.
I had to go to City Hall with Gil Cedillo, and then I got a movie coming out next month called Josie.
What's that?
Yeah, dude, with Sophie Hunter. She's a little popular from Game of Thrones.
Oh, right on. Yeah,
and Dylan McDermott. So it's a cool movie, directed by Eric England, and it's a cool hometown kind of movie. I'm the Mexican kind of comic relief. No janitor, big surprise.
That's your thing. I was talking about you the other day. I don't know if your ears were burning, but I was like, this Lombardo Boyar guy has an amazing amount of range. Because
Murder in the First,
like, you're a badass
detective.
You're a grizzled.
I tried.
You're
cool.
I loved it.
It was totally believable.
But you can do that, and you can do, you know, big ass spider ad libby comedy.
Yeah,
like you can do everything, and
I love
fucking
it.
Voice work.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. And
I can't
voice work is, dude, I think because I'm Mexican, and, you know, I do have a very distinctive voice, you know, let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of people tell me, it's like, dude, I was in the other room, And I heard your voice on the TV and had it run in and you were on the show. Like, they usually recognize my voice before, you know, my face.
Yeah.
They'll hear it like, oh, that's fucking him. So thanks, you know, mom and dad for that.
That worked out for you.
And cigarettes, I ain't gonna lie.
They give you that nice raspy quality.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. So, you know, so
do you
there's
write
that.
Off? I mean, you can't write him off.
I can't write him off. I should.
This is the last year.
That's it. I'm quitting, man.
You got to do the Tom Waits thing. Right off the whiskey and the
I love that. Did he really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know for sure. That was.
Excuse me. Yeah,
it was his signature voice.
Oh, I love Tom Waits. Yeah.
It was because of that. But I don't know if that's true. That's just what I heard.
So anyway, you look at my career, it looks awesome, but yeah, kitties, I haven't worked in almost a year, you know, and that's the other side of our business, you know? You know, it can look great, and, you know, yeah, you post on Facebook, everything looks amazing, but I actually put a post like that about 6 months ago, when it first came out, mm-hmm. and like, everything, it was blowing up, it's good, and I actually, you know, I was a little buzzed, you know, as one gets. No, and I put out this post like, hey, look, I know my life looks great. I said, but I also haven't worked in 8 months.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not all great. I don't know if you remember reading it, but I got all this sympathy. People were like, are you okay? Oh, I'm so sorry. Like, oh, God bless you. Oh, the next one.
Hang in there, buddy.
We believe in you. But it totally wasn't for that. I mean, I saved my money. I was just putting it out there so that, you know, to be honest, because often on the social media, all people post is all just the good shit.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm kind of sick of that. It's like, hey, no, let me tell you.
I wrote a whole book about that. But
good.
Yeah, it happens to me. It's happening to me right now because I have 3 different commercials.
Yeah.
And they're all running in various places right now. Yeah. So people have been seeing me on TV a lot.
Yeah.
So they're like, God damn it, you're doing great.
You're killing it.
And I'm like, I haven't worked in 5 months.
Yeah, I know. So the way it looks and the way it really is sometimes.
Yeah.
Because as actors, you know, whatever's out there, it's done already. We've been paid for it, people.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? With commercials,
he's going to get residuals, but still, it's just going to take a while before they come in and their cycles. It's not just like, bam, bam, bam.
Yeah, it's not like they're sending me $1 million
exactly,
every time you see the commercial. Yeah.
A lot goes into it.
Would be a lot better.
That would be better. Hey, I'm Todd. Just put that in your contract.
Give me
$1 million.
$1 million per errand.
Screw the residuals. Just give me $1 million. Just straight up.
Out of the gate.
Out of the gate. Just give me $1 million.
You can
run it as much as you want.
Forever.
Show it in fucking Japan, China. Dub my voice, whatever.
Oh my God. Last year, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
2 years. It was, maybe it was last year. Yeah, I mean, beginning of, yeah. It was. That was part of the reason why I was like, okay, we can move. We can move to another house. Because thank God, you know, and I realized that Twitter and Facebook and all these social media things are fucking us all.
Oh, yeah.
Because of Russia and whatnot.
Yeah.
But
blame it all on Russia.
But I can't get rid of these accounts because if it wasn't for Twitter, this guy in Canada wouldn't have told me that he just saw me in a Mucinex commercial.
Wow.
Which I shot fucking 15 years ago.
Shit. So you would have known that they're showing it over there. And what the fuck?
I would have known. Then so they wound up having to pay me fines, negotiate a contract.
Wow.
So I made a bunch of money. I was like, okay, we can move.
But Mucinex will probably never hire you again. But so what?
Well, they weren't going to hire me again anyway.
They were just going to use your shit and not pay you.
It was, I was in the very first commercial they ever shot for Mucinex.
Wow.
So when they introduced Mucinex into a new market.
They were just showing that.
Because they did it in Dubai like 7 or 8 years ago.
Wow.
And they, in Dubai, like if they air stuff there, they pay you so much fucking money.
Really?
It's crazy.
I only do commercials in Dubai. Said I'm calling my agents right now.
If I could, I would.
Just the fucking Dubai market.
Yeah, exactly. So, but anyway, apparently they did that without asking or telling or, you know, whatever.
And it's tough, man. Yeah,
if that guy hadn't said that, and sometimes people think they see me and shit, and they don't.
Yeah.
They see some other ginger asshole, because we all look alike.
I know. That's so crazy.
But I was like, holy shit. So he happened to remember the time and channel he saw it on, so I told my agent. My agent looked into it. Next thing I know.
Yeah, this is so funny that you just said that ginger made the ginger comic, because one of my friends was making this argument the other day. God, where was it? I think it was with the school parents, because, you know, that's all I hang out with now. I have 3 kids, so I hang out with, you know, parents.
Oh my
parents
God, how's
shit.
Your son?
Oh, he got the guy's healing just fine. Yeah, he fell off the bed and looked like just kind of about that high, but it's got a wooden post there. You can't see it, but it's like 2.5 feet, maybe. So he rolled off, hit that, which broke his fall, because they said if he would have fell all the way down, it would have been way worse, you know, from the top to the bottom. Right. But it just split his head, and it was like to the bone.
And he had a mild concussion?
Yeah. He had they freak out, just watch him.
Was his behavior strange?
We kept him up. Yeah. You know, made sure we put on a movie, a Hulk, the Hulk or something. He loves the Hulk. And I just sat up and we watched that with him, you know.
Which Hulk?
At night, the one that Ang Lee did, which is I fast forward to the action.
Eric Bana one?
Yeah, I fast forward to the action.
Where Nolte turns into a giant bubble at the end.
Oh yeah, the giant bubble, and then he's a lizard. He's a lizard chameleon guy. He's a lizard chameleon guy.
Is the best Hulk movie, if you really think about it.
Yeah,
because it's so bananas.
Yeah. No, I was watching it, and he puts it on a lot now, and I just want to watch. And if you watch it, it is kind of more kid-friendly, too, because the action and the Hulk doesn't really want to hurt anybody. Right. You know, it's like when you watch that Superman even blew me away. What's that Superman movie and all the destruction they were causing? Or
Batman versus
Batman. Whichever one, he's just destroying the fucking cities and like. Yeah, you just wonder how many people are dying.
The first Superman movie, he just wrecks the
city. Is that the one? That's the one.
End.
Yeah, and I'm like, dude, and like, I don't know, am I older? But no, I just like, he was just, yeah, it's like, God, he's killing people, man. You know? I was like, fuck.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, I went to see.
Back to the Hulk. Yeah, it's more kid friendly. So it's cool. Yeah, I didn't watch it. It feels like a cartoon.
It is movie. A cartoon.
It is, pretty much.
It is a cartoon where Nick Nolte turns into a zombie. But it's, yeah. I and like
Jennifer
that movie.
Connelly.
Yeah, but not Jennifer Connelly. Jennifer Connelly.
In what movie?
I don't want to like body shame people.
No, I know. I hear you,
but
man.
Jennifer Connelly.
I don't know where you're going in
career opportunity.
What? Shut up! So I love that movie.
But man,
she was ridiculous.
I got to work with
Before the reduction. That's where you're going. Let's just say,
like she's too skinny.
No, but she did have a breast reduction. I'm pretty sure.
It's not even that. Yeah. It's that. It's.
I mean,
like,
not that it's. A, she I don't want to be like. Yeah,
like in that in Dark City. Did you ever see that movie? Dark City.
Yes.
Good movie. But she's got like chubby cheeks.
Yeah, no, I got one for you.
Buxom is the word.
Did you see the one with Don Johnson? She's in
the hot spot where she's naked. She's naked in the hot spot. Yeah.
If you haven't seen the hot spot and you're a Jennifer Connelly fan,
there it is.
Check it out. I mean, but you know, we know that sounds very bad right now with what's going on. We realize. But it's a movie. And it's a good movie. Watch it.
It's a good thriller.
She did it.
She did it. What are you going to do? Well, speaking of Jennifer's, no worries, the J-Law there.
Yeah.
She's in that Red Sparrow movie that's coming out. This is coming out tomorrow. Some spy movie, but she apparently is naked in it a lot. But she said the nudity felt empowering to her.
Yeah.
So I quoted that. On Twitter and said, my nude scenes have been quite empowering.
Have you ever had to do that?
You're the worst.
Yeah. Well, you did do
I
it.
I have bared my ass while simulating masturbation twice now.
Nice. You
once
think,
around a
you
campfire.
Think that's on purpose because of your boss, maybe?
I think it's a little strange. But I think mostly he just enjoys humiliating.
Yeah, that's Saturday. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll go with it. It's funny.
He's paying you at least to humiliate.
Well, if I, in my 20s, if somebody had asked me to do that, I would have been like, nah.
Yeah, probably.
No.
Yeah.
Because it is.
And that's probably when people would have wanted to see it.
Probably, but they would have been better off. Still too white. It's too white. My ass is too white.
Do they have the makeup spray down?
No. They just sort of, they use it as sort of a bounce card. So it helps to light the people who are looking at it. But yeah.
Too much light in the lens.
It was, yeah. And both times it was terrifying. And I thought the second time it wouldn't be as scary. Yeah. But the first time, you know, they shot it and they didn't get super close.
Uh-huh.
It was like, you know, mostly a wide.
Yeah.
But it was weird because we're out in the middle of the woods in Malibu. And Wendy Stansler was the director. Mm. And so she is, And we were under the gun. We were like way behind, and we had to accomplish way too much in this one night because it turns out there was something going on the other night.
So we're going to get one shot at this.
We got to get this tonight. So she's like off, you know, behind the camera yelling.
So you were like the illumination.
And me and the other guy who are our asses are out and we're pretending to jack off into a campfire, and she's just screaming, "Yeah, so come, you're coming! You're coming now!" Having a woman scream as you're faking masturbation next to a dude is surreal.
Yeah.
So I thought that, and it was terrifying. Yeah. You know? Because, and you got to be naked. You got to put all your stuff into a sock.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that?
Yeah, I've done the sock.
So you jam your junk into the, what they call it, a cock sock. But you got to put your balls in
there
too.
Yeah, everything. Yeah.
It's really a full junk sock.
Yeah.
And it just feels weird to be naked in front of
it. I like it.
And then, so
I'm wearing one right now.
So I thought,
Hold on, let me shift it.
Second time I did it, I thought, well, I've done this before, so it's no problem, but I didn't take into account the second time I did it, we're in a small room, you know, as opposed to a forest.
Yeah.
So everybody's on top of me. The whole crew, the cameras, everybody's on top of me.
You're like, can we go back to the forest?
Yeah. And the bit is I'm getting busted by my wife, mother-in-law, and my sister-in-law. And her best friend. All come down, all four of these women.
Nice.
Great, reputable actresses, all of them. Come down and look at, find my naked ass jacking off. And then I get punched out by my wife, and I fall naked to the floor.
And all that has to happen when you have junk sock on.
And you're trying not to.
Don't spin around and scare them.
Yeah, exactly. And at one point, and in the scene, Aya Cash's character is...
That must have been fun. I'm sure there were people who were joking.
Oh, yeah. They were fun, and they were all very
supportive.
You're
nervous, you're just making jokes.
You're doing a great job. Doing a great job. And Aya had to take... Her character was taking pictures of me.
Quite nice.
She didn't say that. Oh. Janet did, though. Janet Varney stopped, and she said, I can get in a lot of trouble for saying this.
Yeah, good.
But your ass looks great.
And That's awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's so cool.
It makes it
smacks it. Get in there, kid.
Aya took this picture because her character's. Yeah. She's taking a picture of me, and then she's after the first take. She's like, "Yeah, most of those have the cock sock, right? It's all in." And I was like, "Ah, oh, Jesus!
Thank you."
Jesus Christ. Anyway, those are my nudity stories.
That's awesome.
And I totally. In doing it, respect all of the women that I grew up watching doing nudity in 80s sex comedies.
Oh, yeah.
Because that shit's uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah, dude. Imagine, women especially, you know.
Yeah. And I went to
Most people don't want to look at us. You know, women, they want to look at. So.
No. How many times have you done the nudity?
I've done one full sex scene in a movie called Never Get Out of the Boat, where I played an addict. Alcoholic. Mm. Cheers. just kidding. It's serious. Get help if you need it. But anyways,
he says mostly done with the Hawaiian beer at 11:18 in the morning.
Exactly. And maybe a little edible. I don't know.
Did you have an edible?
Yeah.
Oh man, so, I gotta drive over the hill. I can't.
That's okay.
I can't do. Weed.
No, I'm pretty good. No, I'm. My tolerance is pretty high. So
mine is too. But I just. If I try to drive when I'm high, I get so paranoid.
Do you? No, cool. I got over that. I remember that stage. I remember the paranoia stage. Is this my engine? Is that a noise? I never heard that noise. Everybody's looking at me, man. I'm driving too slow. Now I'm driving too fast. Fuck. That was my street.
Where am I?
Is this supposed to go to the school?
I can't.
The worst was my paranoia that when I first did it, right? And was when I would take my road trips to El Paso, Texas, dude. So I would do it in the middle of the desert, driving on the 10, like with nothing around.
Well,
and I would smoke. No, I mean, that's some paranoia, dude. That's really? Where, like, did my car make a noise? This was before, you know. Smartphones and where cell phones reached. I think a couple times I made it with just a pager, so where I had to find a phone, and like that's paranoid.
Yeah, that is paranoid.
In the middle of nowhere, What's that noise? Is that a cop?
Oh, it's awesome.
But fun.
Yeah, that is fun. Pagers, man. I don't miss that shit.
I know.
I used to hate it.
Remember pulling over and like,
oh, yeah, yeah. You got a pay phone.
You got a quarter.
When you had the flip phone, that was like, now I can pull over and at least I have a flip phone. Yeah. But the pager. And then I saw that American Made movie the other day.
Yeah.
Which is, by the way,
I haven't seen that yet.
It's very fun. I was rolling when I saw it.
Oh, nice. So that,
that might have enhanced my enjoyment.
A little bit. Might have a little bit.
But I really liked it.
Yeah.
But there's a moment where Tom Cruise has like a pager and he's in a fucking meeting with like Pablo Escobar and Noriega.
All these roles I didn't audition for. Right.
Yeah, why were you fucking in American Made?
I don't know, man. Whatever.
You would have been good.
Yeah,
but he gets a pager because his brother-in-law has been arrested or whatever. Yeah. And the pager's going off. These fucking monsters are looking at him like, what the fuck? And he's like, it's my wife, you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, shit. I know exactly how that feels when you're getting a page, but you're in something. Because
back then it was serious.
And it keeps coming through.
That was serious. You could stop it all.
And my fucking commercial agents would always, whenever they page me, would always add 911 to it.
Ooh, yeah.
Like, it's an emergency.
Yeah, exactly.
And you'd call and they'd be like, you have an audition at 4.
Exactly.
Like, that's an emergency? Yeah, that's not an emergency.
No.
No.
No. No, it's important, okay? You have an audition. You go make us that money.
Go get us our 10%.
Do it. Yes, it's in Culver City. Shut up.
Yeah, it's at Sony. Not Sony.
4 p.m.
It's going to take me 4 hours to get home. That's why I got a commercial. At least it's not there, but it's at 200 South La Brea.
That's right.
You ever audition there?
Oh, yeah.
That's so, a little work. It's just like when they give it to you at 4, which seems like
that's what they do.
Everything now.
Yeah.
It's all like 4 or 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
There's just no getting out of the 2-hour commute, 2.5-hour commute home anymore.
See, God bless you, though, too, for still like, see, the reason I don't go out on commercials is because, you know, like I said, we were talking about the respect thing, you know, right? Everything. And they're like, I just like the way they treat you at commercials. Like, you know, and you've been in it for so long, but it takes a certain amount, you know, a certain person to be able to want to be treated like it's your first job every time.
It's not.
Right? Because that's kind of what it is.
Want,
right? Is it crazy?
Want, yes. Want is not the right word. I don't want it.
Yeah.
But I don't make anywhere near enough money theatrically to do it.
No, yeah, yeah.
So part of it is...
But also, too, you book them. Like, and to be honest, when I went out on them, I mean, my booking ratio was horrible. I mean, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Even when I did, I'd book maybe 4 in a year. And then my luck is they would never run.
Oh, I set my sights at least half a dozen commercial bookings, which, you know, doesn't happen nearly as much as it did when I started.
Yeah.
Because I'm old.
Oh, stop it.
But it's true. Because they're not, you know, youth is everything. It still is. I don't know how to change that. I mean, I could move to England. We can move to England. You know what I mean?
Right, they need
American because watch a show that comes out of England.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a good-looking person on it.
Yeah, yeah.
But most of the people on it
Are regular.
Are regular-looking
people. I just read for something that was based on a British show. Sorry to interrupt you. A little side note. I just read for something that's, you know, it's like the first season they did that, and they're bringing it here.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, at the audition, they look nothing like the people that, like you said, in England, they were all regular, just working-class people. Like,
And it's because they value experience in acting.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're going to hire older people before younger people there because they want the acting to be as authentic as possible.
Right.
Here, they want people to be as good-looking as possible.
That's right. That's right.
Because then if the show sucks, at least you're looking at someone who's pretty.
Exactly.
It's a hedging of bets, is what it is.
Yeah, but honestly, you know, and then you know, we're kind of the proof. Yeah, you know, talent survives. Talent lasts.
That's true. That's true, I think, to some degree. Although, I got to tell you, I mean, it's, and like I say, like having a house and, you know, friends and family and all that and a reason to go out and make this money has mellowed me out a lot.
Oh, definitely.
But I still have those pangs that I did when I was a kid of frustration where I'm like, why the fuck don't I get offers? You know, I have days where I'm like, this is fucking crap.
Oh, yeah, it's tough. Everyone has their bad days.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I always say the hardest thing is not getting jaded in this business, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And, you know, we have a little bit, but I always have to remind myself, like you said, look, I have this house. Okay. Look at my career. You know, I'm going to admit it. Sometimes I'll look at my IMDb and I'm like, look at everything I've done. Oh, I needed that today.
See, my
I'm having a bad day.
My IMDb page, because they don't fucking account for commercials.
If they put commercials on there,
like I would have like 300 credits, but they don't. So I only have like 32.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are recurring.
Yeah.
So, but it's still only one.
Yeah,
credit.
Yeah, yeah.
So it looks like I'm a
failure. So watch all your commercials in a row or something.
I should.
But no, I mean, like getting any job. We have our bad days too, man. We're human, you know?
Yeah, it's
like,
yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
there's days where you're just, bad bitch, and have a bad tequila.
But when I'm on a commercial set, because I know I'm not, I walk in, I know I'm not getting any respect.
I know.
I very well may be shit on at some point, which happens. People are indelicate.
Yeah, I know.
You
funny.
Know, sometimes.
No, stand over there.
Yeah. And for me, it's always, every time that shit happens, I don't fucking blow up.
No,
I just think.
I laugh. And like, yeah.
Mailbox money.
That's
why I'm here.
Yeah.
That is why I'm here, you guys.
That's awesome. No, maybe 4 years ago, it was like after we did the first season of Murder in the First, and I was like, I didn't know if we were going to get picked up again. So I was panicking. I was like, I called my commercial, send me out on everything, you know? And I booked like a few commercials, and I did this Arby's commercial, and I was, the director was, he came up to me like, you know, and I've been acting 19 years at the time, but it's just funny, just the way I treat it. And he comes up to me and he goes, okay, don't get nervous when the camera comes on, right? And he walks away. And I just had to laugh, you know, I laughed, and he turns around, and he looked at me like, why are you laughing? Like, he had this weird look on his face. I don't know.
Yeah.
Walked away. It's funny, but it cracks me up. But, you know, that's what I'm saying. Like you said, you know, I take it, too. Like you said, like, hey, man, I'm here for the job, and, like, I love it. Like, and I just laugh it off.
Sure, you know what I mean? Sure. Yeah, I do the same thing.
But for me, it's
If people treat me like I'm naive and it's my first job, I will fucking latch into that and just play it up.
See, for me, it's not just the, I don't think I have a problem once I have the job. Like you said, once I have the job, I'll do anything.
Right, let's go. Yeah.
But I just think also, too, it's casting directors, man. It's just like some of, that's what I can't deal with, you know?
The casting directors, really?
Yeah, I don't know, yeah. It's some of the,
you know, the funny thing is
attitudes, you know?
Well, yeah, there are some that are, I don't know. I mean,
I said, it's not just, look, I know I'm an actor. Like, I'm not going to ask you for the job, dude, and be like, hey, man, hook me up.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, there's crazy actors like that. I mean, I'm sure that's why the guard started, right? I mean, they started putting that guard up because, there is crazy actors, right?
Well, and there's so many people who want to do it.
Yeah.
And there's so many people who aren't talented.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the truth. There's talent, and then there's somebody who's actually developed that talent.
Yeah.
You know, as a craftsman.
Yeah.
But there's so many people who just are starry-eyed.
Yeah. And,
I mean, this is America.
Yeah.
This is the most self-entitled fucking country in the world.
Yeah,
so people
I know.
Are in their little homes in their little towns, and they're like, I can do that. I'm going to be a star.
Yeah.
And then they come out here with nothing. You know, just this crazy dream.
Yeah.
It's David Cross did a whole bit about it. It's like the
yeah, but I guess I'm going back to
parade
like,
of delusion.
Like, I'm a 45-year-old man. Like, say hi to me, look me in the eyes. You know,
sure,
hey,
sure, yeah.
It's
yeah.
just simple shit like that is what I'm saying. You know, like, and then I don't see it, and they have no social skills. You know,
you get it more theatrically. I feel like in the audition situation, people have thought more about who they're calling in, and they have some level of understanding about who they're coming. Commercials, it's cattle call.
What? Keep going.
No,
you're in the wrong seat, or you're in the wrong room.
And actually, commercial casting directors are generally grateful if you just come in and you do it as quickly and as on point as possible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they can move on.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you want their respect, just be the actor who constantly will always show up.
Oh, yeah.
Always go in prepared. I mean, you get the shit when you get there.
Yeah, but still.
But you take 20 minutes with commercial
coffee. Yeah, but don't just talk to everybody the whole time and then go in there and go, what?
What?
Hey, Dave?
Yeah. So if you like have some semblance of lines, or if you've come up with your own goddamn ad-libs or whatever, which is generally what I do, because so much of the copy is boring to me.
You gotta take a risk.
And mess around. Well, if you go and mess around, they very rarely use it.
Yeah. But
they'll call you back anyway because they're like, oh, that made me laugh. Yeah. We're never going to put that in a commercial.
But I like that dude. Yeah. Yeah. He's funny. Yeah. Bring him back. He's confident.
Yeah. Yeah. Confidence. Yeah. Knowing
what you're doing. It's in everything.
That's it. Yeah. That's true. That's true.
Sip, man. Awesome. What else? Yeah, I'm out of beer.
Oh, shit. I'll get you another beer.
All right.
I have another Hawaiian.
Oh, no, I'm good. I'm good. I just saw it.
It's
just my edibles kicking in.
Here's to you.
Cheers. I'm so thirsty.
So tell me more about this movie you got coming out. Where am I going to get to see it? Because you know I like to. I haven't seen Coco yet, I'm going to admit.
Oh, all right.
I have not seen Coco yet. I want to see Coco. Thanks a lot. Because I generally see everything you do.
Yeah, I know. But you know, let's be honest. Your boy's older. You know.
Yeah, he wants to.
He didn't want to go
see
Coco.
He's getting into R-rated movies now. He's only 12. Oh, let me ask you this. To ask you this. Is this bad parenting?
I may have a worse parenting story, so don't feel bad.
Show him some shit that I shouldn't, because I know you told.
Well, that's I'm right along these lines. Like that's what I'm saying.
You told me the story about
my daughter is 5 and my son is almost 4.
Okay,
so keep going.
So my kid is 12, so it's a little different. But you told me a story about your mom taking you to The Exorcist.
Yes, she did when I was 5, 6. Came out in what, 79? I think 79?
Something like that.
I was born in 72, so yeah, I was 6.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and I remember hiding underneath the fucking seat.
So we don't...
But she didn't leave.
We won't even show him Jaws.
But I turned out fine.
You're fine. You're fine. Jaws, we won't show him. You know, we won't show him the shit that's going to give him nightmares and he won't swim again.
My son has seen Deep Blue Sea.
Well, that's different because that movie's so fucking dumb.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's okay. Like, we'll show him R-rated movies. But last night, okay, so he broke out. He's a big Mel Brooks fan.
Oh, nice.
So he broke out the Mel Brooks box set because he was thinking Spaceballs.
Yeah, well, okay.
But then he was looking through the titles and he's like, he hadn't seen History of the World Part 1. R-rated. He hasn't seen Blazing Saddles. R-rated.
Right.
And Blazing Saddles, History of the World Part 1, it has its jokes that are politically incorrect, of course. But Blazing Saddles is...
It's a whole different can of worms.
It's a whole different can of worms. But here's my feeling about Blazing Saddles. Yeah. Is that the racial stuff is satirizing American racism.
Right.
I think.
Oh, I agree.
And I get, if people bristle at... You know, the N-word and all that stuff. Yeah, yeah. I understand that.
Oh, definitely.
But I think the movie is so goddamn funny because it is politically, quote unquote, politically incorrect. But it's really satirizing that stuff. The stuff in the third act with Cannonball Run guy, Dom DeLuise, and the gay stuff is that part is... actually politically incorrect and wildly offensive, I would imagine, if you're a gay person.
Yeah.
So he asked if he could see Blazing Saddles, and I said to my wife, can you see Blazing Saddles? And she said, I think so, but it's going to require a conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
So we sat down, we had this whole conversation about what the movie was about, and then we also said, and there are these jokes at the end that are actually fucked up and not okay. But up until that, all that stuff with Cleavon Little, who is... so amazing.
Yeah.
That guy was so amazing.
Yeah.
Vanishing Point.
Yeah.
Blind DJ. I mean, the guy was great. And him and Gene Wilder together are, their chemistry is the most romantic chemistry that I can think of in movie history. They're in love with each other. Cool. They're so great together. It's so goddamn funny. So we watched it, but then like at the end of it, I was like, should I have done, it was...
Yeah.
Is that okay? He's 12. Because I basically had to tell him, whatever jokes you like in this, you cannot go to school repeat it to your friends.
But I like what you guys do with the conversation, because that's what I do with the kids. Whenever they're watching anything and it's a little crazy, I always say, look, guys, this is all fake, right? None of this is real. They're all actors. You know what daddy does? That's what they do. They're pretending.
Right.
Right? It's all fake. You know, nobody's really getting hurt.
We say that with the violence. It's a
good story. Yeah, you know.
Because he's a 12-year-old boy. Yeah, yeah. So, a shoot 'em up? That's the greatest thing when you're a 12-year-old boy watching people shoot each other. And so...
I
like it. I like John Wick movies.
Yeah, I know.
I like it.
I like the John Wick. I know. Those are great. Those are so much fun, man.
They are. But I know that they're over the top.
Yeah.
And ridiculous.
Yeah.
So he knows that. He's not going to be going out and buying an assault. You're not supposed to call it a rifle, I guess, but an assault weapon and shoot people.
Mick has seen the Hulk movies, and he loves all the action hero stuff already.
Like, sure, yeah, of course.
And we watched Wonder Woman, and that wasn't that bad. Like, you know, I didn't think for the kids, like, you know, they loved it. I don't know if there was too much action. It was that bad.
But
they loved it. And my little daughter, who's 5, was empowered. She was like, yeah. And I thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
She thought that she was kicking ass. She's pissed that it wasn't nominated for Best Picture. So you want to talk about feeling like a bad parent. So during the week, I'm like, I don't know. Mick gets a day off, and then Birdie was sick or something. So she didn't go to school. She had a bad stomach, so I'm like, what are we going to do? I'm like, God, well, let's go to the movies. So I was in the movies. Dude, I took him to see Black Panther.
Oh.
And I left because I couldn't.
Was it too violent?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like, it was good. I mean, I didn't finish it, but yeah, it's just, they were like any other, they've seen The Avengers, what else? Captain America.
What was it?
For something about those movies, it was like, I don't know. They were trying, like I said, they were trying not to hurt people. You know, everything's accidental and stuff like that.
Right.
And this one just started off like, you know, with good reason. I mean, it looked great. You know, I want to finish it. But yeah, I was just uncomfortable because there was just like killing, like just, you know, stabbings, you know,
and stuff.
It was just like, and the bad guys were really great, and they were really bad, and they were fucking killing people, you know.
Yeah. And I
had to leave, and you know, I was just like, come on, let's go. And then they didn't fight. I was like, yeah, I felt bad. So we lasted about 15 minutes. So, how about that for being a bad
friend? That's interesting. I mean, I wonder why. I have to watch it again. I mean, I really liked it. Again, my kid is 12, so it's a different ball of wax, and he's seen R-rated action movies like Die Hard and shit at this point.
This guy in front of us, I don't know, he moved because the kids were talking. They weren't even talking that much, but he moved down. He got up and went down a few rows, and I was like, oh.
Why?
I don't know.
Because my
kids were next to me, but they were, you know, they were talking, like, they were eating, you know, popcorn, and like, you know, Birdie would be like, hey. You know, and I'd say, quiet. You know, it was like loud. I don't know. So I don't know if he was making a statement or not, but anyways. Yeah. So anyways, I had to take off. So I'm just strictly cartoons now. And, you know, at home, because that's the thing. I just think I felt weird in public doing it, to be honest. You know? I just felt weird. It's like, I don't want them.
Well,
people.
I wouldn't.
You know, because I know I'm being judged or whatever.
Sure,
I'd rather get at home. It's my decision. You know, there people are looking at me. And
I absolutely would not take Colby to an R-rated movie for that very reason.
Exactly, yeah. So because that's what I got. And,
yeah.
And I felt it too. And I was like, whether I was uncomfortable because I did it, because like I said, at home, I probably would have let him keep watching and just explain it to him, you know?
Sure.
But there, I was just like, let's go.
Yeah. I totally get it. I mean, I know that before I had kids, I would go to movies and there'd be R-rated movies. Yeah. And I'd be like, why the fuck
did you bring your children? Yeah.
Like, I saw Freddy versus Jason.
Yeah.
And I was sitting next to a row of 7-year-old kids.
Wow. Yeah.
And I was like, why the fuck would you bring a bunch of 7-year-olds to see this garbage?
Yeah.
I mean, I was there for a very specific reason. Yeah. I was there to see garbage.
Yeah.
I was there to see something that was inappropriate.
Yeah.
Because I'm a grown-up.
Yeah.
And I can see that and have
and
a laugh.
You were revved up for it. And now
I'm sitting next to a 7-year-old
boy.
So
you got
to
be cool. And
freaking out. Yeah. And at a certain point, I was like, maybe the best thing I can do for this kid is to make him realize how terrifying human beings can be.
Yeah.
As well as the movie. So every time something horrible happened, I would laugh as loud as possible and I would look at him like, you know, like just this side of giving him a little elbow, like, hey, So he was getting terror from the screen and terror from his grown-up next to him. And goddammit, I hope it fucked him up and made his parents' lives miserable for at least 5 years.
Wow. It probably did.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want another Hawaiian beverage?
Sure, why not?
I don't have any more in bottles, but I have a Hawaiian in a can.
Oh, yeah, whatever. Or just give me whatever you got.
All right.
You know I'm not picky, man. We're still here. Don't worry. He's just, you know, getting me a beer. Coconut sounds great. Oh, a coconut beer. Fancy.
Coconut porter. It's pretty good.
What?
Yeah. Try it.
A Hawaiian coconut porter. That sounds delicious.
Mmm, it's good.
My wife's going to be so happy with me. Like, babe, I gotta go do it. We're pretty funny together, man. You know, this could turn into something.
Was she like, where are you going? Yeah,
exactly.
Why are you doing that?
I gotta go. No, the funny thing is, like, we were driving when Mick hurt himself, and I was like, hey, or send him the text, right? With the picture or something. And then she saw, she saw what I had sent you. You had sent me a text that said, hey, do you want to come to Simi Valley and get away, you know, from the kids?
Oh, shit.
It's awesome. No, because it was my reply. It was funny. Because you said that, or I could easily come to you. And my reply was just like, no, I'll come to you. So she goes, yeah. I said, babe, come on. You can't do it here with the kids and everything. Come on. That'd be bad. So that's how I got out of that one.
Well, you know, a healthy relationship, a healthy marriage.
Yeah, no, it's
involved. Awesome. I send my wife out. I send her away.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, because I spend so much time by myself.
Mm, interesting. I like it.
Yeah, it's good, right?
Ooh, yeah, it's got a kick.
It's got a kick. It's a little bit.
I don't usually do that for beer, but.
Yeah,
babe, we're fucking working.
Yeah, danky. That's what you call this kind of beer.
Yeah, that's got some dank. That's got some dank. Yeah, we were working, babe. Shut up. We came up with some great shit, man.
That's what I loved about doing the Film Pigs web series is that, like, every other Tuesday night, it was my boys' night out. And we'd drink.
That's true.
But we made a dumb show instead of playing poker.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So it was easier to go to poker. Because you go to poker night and you're like, God damn it.
And you actually have evidence.
Yeah. I did something.
Look at this. You can watch it right now, dear. I wasn't just fucking off. I was fucking off on tape. On video.
I was making a point of it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, they don't like that shit. It's understandable. But I make a point of sending my wife out.
I don't know, I might offend you, fantasy football people. Like, I don't. Like, I have friends that go, like, hey, I'm going to fantasy football. My friends, that's not me.
No, I mean.
Like, I like to just let's go have a bar or do this, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I'm a bar guy, totally. I like to sit at a bar and have a conversation.
That's it, or shoot pool. Yeah.
So podcasting and web seriesing, you can do all that stuff.
Web
and
then seriesing?
Constructive.
Yeah. Web seriesing?
That's what it's called, yeah.
All right.
Web seriesing.
Hashtag web seriesing.
What the hell?
Anyways.
So where do I go see, what's the name of the movie again?
Josie,
and where is it going to be?
It's going to be at the Lemley.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Is it a multi-platform
March
or is
there?
It just going to be limited
release? Art House limited release and on digital, of course. Josie with Sophie Turner and Dylan McDermott. And
how is Dylan McDermott?
He was cool, man. He was cool. He was in character.
Did he masturbate at all?
Was that for this new show? Or
the first season of American Horror Story.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that show lost me pretty fast after the first season, but I really liked the first season.
Right.
And my favorite moment was when he just is naked and crying and starts jacking it. Because he's, like, possessed by the house or whatever, and it's weird.
Christerbate.
So we called it Christerbate.
Yeah, he's cool. He's a serious actor, man. You know, he was in character, and, you know, he was, he plays Hank, and he was Hank, man.
He was Hank.
Man.
He's Hank. What's Hank about?
Hank is a kind of a handyman. He's mysterious. I don't know how much I can say. I mean, does anybody listen to this?
Nope.
I'm just kidding.
No, they're like seven people.
Seven? Awesome. Hey,
what's up, guys?
What's up, guys?
You could possibly send me your address. Joyce,
I'll send you a picture. I got time for seven.
Do you get a lot of autograph requests?
No, not a lot. I get enough that I'm still stoked when I get over it. Oh, cool. Somebody likes me in Germany.
Do you respond to that? Because I get them.
I put them in a stack.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it gets big enough that I feel bad enough for not sending them.
That but you don't pay for the postage to send people?
No, people are awesome, dude. No, and that's the thing. I'm so lazy that they even send me their own postage with a self-return envelope and everything.
Do you have like a P.O. box?
And I still leave it. No, I haven't done that yet. I don't know if I should. I don't think I'm...
You give your house address out?
No, I don't give my house. No, it goes to my agents. They usually send it to my agents, then they send it to me.
Well, yeah. That's what I should start saying. But I know all of my autograph requests are bullshit.
What do you mean?
Well, they always spike after I'm on something, of course.
Yeah.
But it's always somebody who doesn't like speak English. It's like broken English in the email.
Yeah.
And it's like, please send me two autographed pictures.
Yeah.
And
see, that's interesting. I never get emails or anything.
I have my website.
Oh yeah, there you go.
They send it to the website.
There you go.
I'm always like. At first, I sent a few out. But it's expensive to send those goddamn things.
Is it? Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, if you're doing it. See, that's the thing. Yeah, I don't know if I would. Yeah.
So I just stopped because and also they're asking for two. So that suggests that they want an autographed picture of me in the hopes that I'll actually blow up and become really famous.
Yeah, there's those people too, those collectors. Yeah, yesterday, like when we're in the city hall for the Coco thing. Yeah, this kid just came up to me and he had a Coco book and he had everybody's signature, but he didn't have mine. You know, and he's like, yeah, can you sign it? You know, it's like he's collecting everybody's, you know.
That's a little different. I mean, that strikes me as somebody who actually wants it for himself.
But he looked like he had, you know, he had his other photos. You could tell he was like a collector and like he was going to sell it.
Oh, he was going to turn around and sell it.
Yeah, like he didn't seem like, I'm a super fan.
Like,
you know?
I don't... Yeah. That's not cool. Yeah. I mean, it's like I understand why people charge for autographs now.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to turn around and make money off of my dumb signature.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy. I don't know if it's true, but I was at a, I went for Big Ass Spider. It was the first time I went to,
when's Big Ass Spider 2, by the way?
Oh, dude, I don't know. I don't think it's going to happen. No? I mean, it's already been 5 years since it came out, I want to say, or since we shot it. Since it came out, so I don't see it happening. The guys and I try to get the rights, and they wouldn't even sell them to me. They're like, "We're never ready to sell the rights." It's like, "All right,
really?"
Yeah, it's like, "Why not?"
Do you talk to Mike Mendez about it?
Oh yeah, we tried, but Mike's really, you know, they're good to Mike, and Mike likes working with them. You know, and that's great. You know, but for me, it's just like, yeah, I don't think it's gonna happen, and I think Greg Grunberg and I think they kind of feel the same.
Yeah. Because Grunberg says trying. Every now and again that...
Yeah, they're trying, but it's like, yeah. Yeah, but I don't think it's going to happen. Also, too, you know, it's like, I don't want to be Zoolander Tood.
You don't have too much time to go
by. Yeah, you know, and then it's like, yeah, it's just after a while, it's just
although,
like,
you know, if you wait long enough, if you give
I mean, although, in that case, I mean, I'll probably actually finally get a little bit more money. You know, because we got paid nothing to do the first one. But that was the beauty of it. I mean, we did it because we loved it. And, like, Mike was like, hey, look, this is the blueprint. You guys get to do what you want. We're changing every scene, you know, just improvise. And I was like, you know, that's why I loved it. You know, when do you ever get that, you know?
Well, to me, it's a template of what Sci-Fi Channel movies should be.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not above a Sharknado picture. I'll look at that.
Yeah.
The talent involved in on-screen talent involved in a Sharknado film is negligible. You know, it's navel-gazing, washed-up celebrity kind of stuff. Right. Whereas Big Ass Spider is like an entire cast of very talented comedic actors making something out of what is essentially
going to be nothing. And that's what we wanted to do. You know, have fun, but make it better.
It just seems like...
And I'll never forget that experience. You know, we shot it in the summer. You know, it's hot. You know, it's fucking awesome. Me and fucking Greg were sharing a little honey wagon. Like, you know, it's literally like splitting, you know, just the honey wagon. Like split it, you know, where they put the thing in between.
Yeah,
that's what we had. And like Greg and I were like, fuck it, let's open it. We just open it. Or like, just room. And
yeah,
like,
the honey wagon.
And we would just run ideas in there and, you know, and run the scenes. It was like, okay, cool. And then we got there and just play. We'd have it so well that it was like once. Because, you know, we got one or two takes. You know, I was like, low budget. Like, some of that shit was like, that's it.
That's great, though.
I loved it. I mean, that's the way. I loved it, dude. Like, long days, you know, but fun.
Yeah. Let's go. That's like the dream.
Improvising.
Gig. I mean, to get paid proper money to do it would be the dream gig.
Yeah, no, but still, I mean, that's like you said, that is a dream gig. Like, for me, it's just working. Like, just getting paid, you know, something is amazing. You know, of course, not to get too deep, but it's like, yeah. Like, what is nothing to us, right, as an actor, right? Like, I got paid maybe $2,500 a week
for that movie, right?
And, you know, if you told, for actors, $25, that's fucking shit. That is shit. But,
especially when you're working 16
but there's
hour
people
day,
that yeah. But there's people that work 60-hour weeks that make $450.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Exactly. Dude, that's the thing. I mean, so that's like when you do, when you talk to regular working class people and they're like, and you, I've done it before, I'm like, yeah, they only wanted to pay me like $12.5 an episode. They're like, what? You said no? You know, they're like, fucking idiot.
$5,000 a week?
Because I get asked a lot, like, how come you don't do, like, novelas or Spanish TV? And it's like, because that's the difference. Literally, for series regular, they're, like, going to throw at you, like, $2,500,
$5,000. Oh, a week.
For, and it's like, the price there is, like, I don't think so. Yeah. But, yeah, like, when I said that to the Mexican side, they're like, what? Take it? You stupid? $5,000, I'll do it. Where is it? Give me the address, fool.
I'll go.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's that easy. I'll do this for $2,500.
Exactly. Yeah. They're going to get you doing it. Yes.
Yeah.
That's why I love it. Like, and you get funny people, like, even with the Coco thing, right? Because it's cool. Like, you know, it's a huge thing. And then, like, that's the thing that keeps me from getting jaded. Like, I'm still a fan. I still get stoked by what I'm in and what I've done. I'm like, fuck, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
Dude, like, I get stoked, you know?
I was watching... I did this low-budget movie with the guys who made American Pie.
Yeah.
In 99. And it came out in 2000. And, it, you know, it's an R-rated kind of sex comedy type of deal.
Yeah. What's it called, Todd?
It's called Replicate.
All right.
Or National Lampoon Presents Replicate, depending on the market that you're talking about.
But I'm gonna look it up.
But I, you know, I hadn't shown it to Colby because it's you know, it's a sex comic or whatever. But he's always asked about it, so I finally showed it to him, and it was the greatest. Because I mean, one, it was horrifying because I shot it in 99.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at it going, Jesus Christ, I really did look young at one point. Oh, I look young in that movie.
Yeah.
And, but Colby's watching it and he thinks it's fucking hilarious. And after every scene I was in, he'd get up and like do an impersonation of what I had done. I was like, this is the best.
And he was better.
He's way better. But yeah, like that kind of shit makes me happy. Because, you know, there's not enough of stuff that he can really watch.
Oh, I know. Most
of those, like, he can't watch You're the Worst. I can't show that
shit
to
him. Oh, I know.
Most of it's too offensive.
But. Nah, that's the thing. That's why Coco was cool. It's the first thing that they could see. Like, I got to take him to the premiere, and they were stoked.
Did they recognize your voice and character?
Oh, yeah. They knew. It was funny, dude. They love it. And, like, I got 5 copies of it yesterday. They gave me. Like, dude.
Did you bring me one?
Pixar. Oh, no.
I haven't seen it yet.
Well, I didn't know that. I just assumed you did.
You know what I'm going to do? Because I haven't seen it. I have not seen it. And what I'm going to do is, to make up for it, I'm just going to buy it outright.
Ooh, nice.
When's it coming out on Blu-ray?
It came out yesterday, fool.
Well, I'm going to order it right now. As soon as this is done, I'm ordering Coco.
Bullshit.
I will. I fucking
will.
You're
going to go there and you're going to see another movie.
This is my last day. This is my last day of Amazon Prime before apparently I have to go on a boycott of it.
Oh, really? Yeah, what's going on with that? What?
Because they're...
Educate me?
Cause, well, people want them to remove all the NRA stuff.
Oh, that's right.
Because they have NRA apps. Yeah. And NRA. They have a whole thing with the NRA.
Yeah, I just read, go Dick's Sporting Goods. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, Dick's, Delta, United, they're all dropped. So they people want to put the pressure on Amazon, so they're starting a boycott, which starts tomorrow.
I better go home and buy some shit.
I know. I'm going to buy everything I want.
Let me see. I got to get going soon.
Okay. Well, boy. Let's... how do you wrap up your show?
Oh, let me see. I don't know. fuck. I don't remember. How does this go?
Just say it's over.
All right, man. Hey, the show's fucking over. Bye. Peace. Later. Go watch Josie.